religion would say you're condemned.
Yeah.
Because of what you've done.
Yeah, religion would say clean up your mess and then God will bless you. But the truth is, Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, He loved us, then He washed us, and then He made us kings and priests. You know, He loved us first. He doesn't love what is clean. He cleans what He loves.
There you go.
Yeah,
so. You know, so when we talk about prosperity, and people say it's the prosperity gospel. There is no such thing as a prosperity gospel. It's the gospel of grace.
That's right. There's only one gospel.
It's only one gospel.
Yeah.
The money in my pocket is not mine. It's God's.
Yeah. And it came from Him.
Yeah. He is the source behind everything we have that is good. He loves to be trusted. He loves to be the one that you lean on.
Yeah.
He loves to be the one that you rely on. And He wants to be the one that you lean and rely on first.
Yes, totally.
Hello and welcome to a new and slightly different episode of Your World. Now, on today's program, I want to speak directly to those of you watching about a topic I'm asked about quite often in light of my teaching on grace. The question is about finances. More specifically, how do I balance the message of grace with my financial stewardship and responsibility to the kingdom of God? Now, the answers to these questions are found right in the Word of God. And when you get the right understanding, your financial outlook and really your entire financial life will be revolutionized. I'm telling you, you won't look at the concept of financial stewardship the same ever again once you understand it in light of God's grace. Now, I've recruited some help for today's program and have invited my good friend, Pastor Greg Dickow, to join me on the set for this discussion. If you've got questions, we've got answers, all today, right here on Your World.
Changing one life, time after time. Oh Lord, we do it all for You.
Through the trials I see,
welcome back. You know, I'm so excited about our guest today, Pastor Gregory Dickow, pastors in the Chicago area, an awesome church, Life Changers Church. Ministry spans the globe. He has ministered to people all over the world. But I'm telling you right now, He has ministered to my life. He's ministered to my family. We are brothers from two different mothers. And you are so going to enjoy His gift. You're going to enjoy His anointing. You're going to enjoy Him as a person. Would you please join me in welcoming to this program, Pastor Gregory Dickow.
God is so good.
I'm honored to have you today.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you here today. And I am so looking forward to hearing what God has been saying to you. This man really sticks closer than any brother. He's just been there. He's loved Taffy and I. I love his kids. His kids call me Uncle Cref.
Yeah.
My kids are in love with him. Of course, my daughters think, you know, oh my gosh, he's handsome. He's hot, you know. But I am so glad to have him in my life. And you're going to be so blessed to have him today as we tackle this subject. And I know your ministry has really given birth to a tremendous revelation of the grace of God, the love of God, and then understanding not only how to steward that anointing, but how to balance and reconcile the prosperity message, if you will, with the grace of God and the love of God.
Yeah.
Tell me what he's been saying.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor. You know, I think it all boils down to something Jesus said when he said, freely you have received, therefore freely give. It really, everything is about how we have freely received from God. Everything we have is from God. Every good and precious gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shifting shadow, right? He never changes.
Yeah.
And this idea that we have to give to get is really the wrong concept. It's really the wrong motivation.
Yeah.
And God has been speaking to me that you have to remember, every day wake up and remember how much God has given us. Whether we have a lot in the world's eyes or not, what we have, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the wisdom of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, everything we have is a gift from God. Freely we've received, therefore our response, our reaction, our reflex is to freely give. Giving is a reflex to truly understanding how much we've received from God.
And that is so good because, you know, we have this gift of grace.
Yeah.
And he's promised that, you know, I've given to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we see how he demonstrated that in the Garden of Eden. When he made the earth and he was, you know, the whole 7-day deal, God did not make man until everything was ready for him.
Yeah.
Everything was prepared.
So good.
And I believe even today, he's already made everything ready for us.
Yes, he
2,000 years ago, it's already been done. Our healing has already been prepared.
Already done.
Our deliverance has already been prepared. And our prosperity has already been prepared. And so he has given of himself. We've received Jesus into our life. And as a result of receiving him, he says, you will freely get everything else when you get Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm thanking God, number one, for what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 calls this unspeakable gift.
Yes.
This gift of grace that has given me and made me righteous, made me redeemed, made me holy.
Yes.
And I received that by faith. So faith is not, you know, making God create something now.
Right.
Faith is believing you've received what Jesus has already done. We have more faith in what we can do for Jesus.
Yes.
Than we do in what Jesus has already done for us.
And that's right. The announcement of a parent at Christmas that he's going to get his child a bicycle, the announcement of a father that he's going to get his child a bicycle for Christmas is not a challenge to that child to do whatever it takes to get a bicycle. It's an announcement that the father of what the parents are going to do, not what the child has to do to earn it, to deserve it, to work for it. God's promises are not a challenge for us to try to get God to keep his word. God's promises are an announcement that he's going to keep his word. And that's the grace of God, that he does it all. All we do is learn how to receive and get out of the way. Right?
Boy, I tell you, I like that. And that's what we got to do. Learn how to receive and get out of the way.
Yeah, stop being in the way of receiving because all we have to do is receive. And you know, the grace of God, it's really an exchange. It's he became sin so that we would be made righteous. He became the curse. He took the curse upon himself so that we would be redeemed from the curse and so that we could be blessed. He took sickness upon himself so that we could be healed. All of it is an exchange. All we have to do is let what God did be real. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? We just have to simply accept what he's done. He's exchanged our poverty. He became poor so that we might be made rich.
How would you take this grace now and reconcile this message of prosperity? Because you and I both know the idea has come from religion that if you give enough money, then you might be able to get a healing.
Yeah.
Or if you get enough money, you might be able to get God to bless you. Or as I heard one guy said, he said, the windows of heaven are open for the next 15 minutes. And then the 15 minutes was up and that money started coming. He says, I just heard from God, it's going to be open for 2 more minutes, you know. How do you reconcile this? Because people think that I have to give to get.
Yeah.
They think that I can pay for God's unmerited favor. And you and I know you can't buy God's favor.
You can't.
So how do we reconcile? this with the grace of God?
I think the grace of God is God freely gives us all things, as you know, and as our viewers know. He freely gives us all things. My response to his lavish, generous, outrageous love and grace, my response is, here, I'll give you whatever I have, Lord. I'm so thankful. You know, the Bible talks about thank offerings. Really, that's what every offering is. It's thanksgiving. It is. Jesus has given me life. Jesus has given me salvation, healing, deliverance. He's given me every good thing I have. My response is, thank you, Lord. Here's my reflex, my reaction. You know, 10 men were healed. 10 men were cleansed of leprosy, but only one came back to give thanks. And Jesus said, wow, this man's faith has made him whole. All he did was give God thanks. Faith was really the giving of thanks. The giving of thanks is the greatest mark of faith. And so in reconciling this whole idea of grace is that God gives us everything, and we're so thankful. And we have to meditate on how good he's been. Think about how good he's been. And then our reaction is we want to give back. We get to give back. We love to give back because he has given to us so much more than we could possibly ever deserve.
So are you saying people that have problems giving financially, they just don't understand the fullness of what God has already given to them?
They really don't. They really don't understand the generosity of God. Yeah. You know, there's a scripture I love in Proverbs 19, verse 6. It says, every man wants to be the friend of him that gives good gifts. Yeah. Well, we would win this world to Jesus if we could introduce to the world what God is really like, how good he is, how generous he is, how loving he is. And if we really understood his goodness, we would lavish our gifts back upon him. We would freely give everything we have because we realize how much he has freely given us. I think it really comes down to we have to help people understand how good God has been to them, how generous he's been to them, how generous of a God he is, and we will then that will result in our generosity back.
And so I think it's vital then for the gospel of grace to be preached, because that's what we're talking about.
That's right.
We're talking about through the grace of God, come and see the generosity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Come and see how generous
he is. I think about the generosity of Jesus when Jesus showed up with that woman at the well.
Yeah.
And told her everything she'd done, told her about all her husbands and everything. I believe that that was grace, because I believe the grace of God is Jesus. Jesus, full of grace and truth,
yes,
showed up at that well. And I'm like, well, God, why did you let her know that you knew all of the stuff that was going on in her life? And then turns around and calls her into the ministry.
Mm.
With all of the things she had, all of the
so
husbands
good.
She's had.
So good.
She said, I just wanted to let you know that I knew your mess and I called you into a ministry.
That's
anyway.
Right.
Shut up now.
And I offered you living water.
I offered you living water.
When I knew your mess.
And religion would say, you're condemned.
Yeah.
Because of what you've done.
Yeah, religion would say, clean up your mess, and then God will bless you. But the truth is, Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, he loved us, then he washed us, and then he made us kings and priests. You know, he loved us first. He doesn't love what is clean. He cleans what he loves.
There you go.
Yeah,
so. You know, so when we talk about prosperity.
Yeah.
And people say it's the prosperity gospel. There is no such thing as a prosperity gospel. It's the gospel of grace.
That's right. There's only one gospel.
It's only one gospel.
Yeah.
When we begin to look at it, I often think of a couple of things you said. First of all, number one, everything starts in our mind.
Yeah.
And so we've got to set our mind properly. Number one, I've got to admit to myself that this money, these things, the blessings I have, they are not mine.
Yeah.
I've got to admit to myself that the money in my pocket is not mine. It's God's.
Yeah. And it came from him.
Yeah. And then secondly, I've got to admit that he's my source.
Yeah.
He is the source behind everything we have that is good. I mean, you think about it. If you went to the store or you went to your job or wherever you go and God charged you on the oxygen.
Yeah.
And decided I'm going to charge you for every breath you take.
Yeah, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's the source.
That'd be expensive.
Yeah, it would be very expensive. You wouldn't be able to afford it, you know?
That's right.
He is the one that is the source of everything. And like we were talking, He loves to be trusted. He loves to be the one that you lean on.
Yeah.
He loves to be the one that you rely on. And He wants to be the one that you lean and rely on first.
Yes, totally. Listen to this, Crap. In the Garden of Eden, we've gotten such a screwed up mindset of religion has messed us up bad. In the Garden of Eden, people focus so much on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate from. That wasn't their first sin. The first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden was, see all these trees? Eat freely from all these trees. The fact that they did not eat freely from all those trees was the worst sin. It was the first sin. It was the greater sin. And it was why they had the temptation to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Had they eaten freely from the trees that God had already given them and told them to eat freely from, they would have lost their appetite for the tree that they weren't supposed
They'd
to eat from.
They'd been too full.
They would have been too full. Have you ever, all of our viewers know, if you've ever been so full from dinner and they bring along the pie and you, as good as that pie looks, as beautiful as pie looks, you're like, I can't eat another bite. And that's what temptation is like. When you're full of God's love, full of His grace, full of His goodness, yes, it still looks good. A pretty woman still looks pretty, but if I've been, you know, eaten from my own vineyard, then I don't need anything else. I've lost my appetite for anything else, right?
So we know God's our source. Yeah. We have the stewardship mind.
Yeah.
A mind to receive what is His and admit that it's His. But then in Luke chapter 16, this parable that Jesus was talking about this unjust steward.
Okay.
And I mean, you know the story. The steward was accused of wasting his master's good, and some interesting things happened there. And all of a sudden, the steward freaked out. And he says, I can't work, and I'm too ashamed to dig.
Right.
Now he could work. There was nothing wrong with him. Basically, he wouldn't work, was too ashamed to dig. And so he says, now what am I going to do? So he and this is the way I see it. He continues to steal, and he goes to all of the folks who owed his master, and he cuts a deal with them. He says, how much do you owe? 100? I tell you what, cut me something for 50. I'm saving you some stuff.
Wow.
Go to the next one. I'm saving you some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, why did he do that? So when he gets fired, he can go to those guys and say, remember when I did you a favor?
That's right.
Remember when I set you up? And the master did something so interesting. He commended the steward. Because he said, you're finally understanding that you use your money to set your future instead of squandering it on your present lust and the things you're trying to get. And he goes on and he tells him, sometimes people in the world are wiser than those in the church. Why? Because people in the world set up a retirement. They set up their future. They put money aside. Sometimes church folks, they say, well, you know, I'm going to heaven, so I don't need to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he says, make friends with this unrighteous mammon.
Yeah.
So when you, they use the word fail, but it's translated die.
Yeah.
When you die, then you might be received in heaven by all of these people you help with your money.
Wow.
And then Jesus gets to this point in verse 10. The subject so far was about this unjust steward who is not faithful with his master's money. And Jesus defines for us least. If you are not faithful with the least, with the little, then you won't be faithful with the much. And he goes on, if you're unjust. But immediately I saw, look at what Jesus just said. He defined least. He defined least. He's referring to money. And what he says is, if you can't convince yourself that you can trust God in giving and receiving, if you can't prove to yourself that you can trust God with the little, what makes you think you can trust God with the much?
Wow.
If you can't trust God to be able to lift 5 pounds, why do you deceive yourself into thinking you can lift 100?
That's right.
If you cannot trust, listen, if you can't eat pork chops, leave chitlins alone. If you can't jump 3 feet, don't try to climb a mountain.
Yeah.
If you can't run a mile, don't enter into a marathon. The idea Jesus was saying here is start off with the least and work your way up.
Mm.
But the deception has been this. We believe that we can trust God to heal us of sickness and disease, and we can trust God to deliver us from great situations in our lives, but we can't even trust Him for the little. And Jesus is saying this, until you can trust me with the little, don't deceive yourself into thinking you can trust me with the much. I don't need your money. I need your trust. You know, Lord said that I was preaching. He said, tell the people I don't need their help. I need their trust.
That's right.
And if we'll begin to understand that you can't trust God, now I can just go and open my mouth and say, well, hallelujah, I trust God. Thank you, Jesus, I trust God. But prove it.
Yeah.
How do I know that's authentic? How do you authenticate your trust? How? By giving.
Yeah.
Because when you become a giver, you prove you trust God.
That's right.
Now, he goes on later in that chapter. He says, you're going to trust God or you're going to trust mammon. Why did he talk more about money than he talked about faith? Why did he talk more about money than he talked about prayer? Because he knew we would be tempted to trust money more than we would trust God. Mm. And so he continues to say over and over again, if you trust me more than money, give. I don't need your money. I need your trust. Show me that I'm priority, that you honor me, and what I have to say to you carries more weight than anybody or anything that's in
right.
your life.
That's right.
Will you trust me? And so, like we were talking earlier, I now see my giving as trust.
Yes.
That when I have my seed, I said, this is my trust. That God, I trust you with money. I trust you with that which would try to tempt me into thinking that it can take care of all of my needs. And it can't take. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Mm-hmm. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy healing.
Yeah.
Money can buy an associate, but never a friend. So money cannot be the source for everything in your life.
That's right.
But Jesus can. He can be the source. He can be your supply house for everything you will ever
Amen.
Need in your life. But here's the deal. Do you trust God? Mm-hmm. Oh, I trust God. Are you a giver? No, you don't trust Him. You don't trust Him. But you've been so deceived into thinking that, oh, yeah, I trust God. Well, are you giving? No, I'm not a giver. Well, now to the degree that you're willing to give to God is the degree that you're saying I'm willing to trust God there.
Yes.
We've made money the issue. The issue is trust.
That really is.
The rich young ruler dude, he came in there and he, well, I've kept all the commandments, which was a bunch of, because I mean, nobody could keep the law.
Yeah.
And he said he kept all of them. Jesus said, oh, I love this guy, but let's find out where his heart is. He said, take what you have, give to the poor, lay up treasures in heaven and come and follow me. Because I'm going to find out where your heart is. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where we're going to find your heart.
Yeah.
And that the Bible says he was sad at that saying and he went away grieved because he had great possessions. We believe he went away grieved because great possessions had him.
That's right. He put his trust.
He put
in
his
those
trust
riches.
In those riches yeah, instead
right.
of putting his trust in God.
That's
and
right.
Jesus says, "I'm gonna show you where your heart is."
Yeah,
he did not give. He showed where his heart was.
He revealed it. Yeah,
he revealed it. And then when he left, Jesus began to reveal some things. He said very clearly that there would be a hundredfold that will come from trust. But here's the thing: I want to make sure our audience understands. I don't buy favor. No, that's not it. It's not quite like Wall Street where you sow a seed and expect to get a harvest from the seed. Because Jesus has already done everything that we'll ever need. Money is not going to be responsible for making that withdrawal. Trust is.
Yes.
It's going to be your trust and your faith. Everything we get from God, we get by faith. We get because we trust Him. We don't want to confuse it to think, well, I got this healing because I gave this money. Now, when you gave this money, you prove you had trust in what God had
That's
already
right.
given to you, and now it was manifested in your life. It's kind of like what you're saying. Our job is to realize that we are receivers of
yeah.
what has already been given.
Yeah.
How can I even think about being a giver and love it until I realize that He's already given to me.
Amen.
And my position now is to be a good receiver.
It's so true. And it really is about trust. And the fact is just like in marriage, you know, intimacy is not about sex. It includes
sex. Yeah.
but it's not about sex. And in the same way, tithing and giving is not about money. It's about trust. It includes money,
yeah.
But it really is about trust. And if truly, if I trust that God will provide all my needs, I am not going to steal from him. I'm not going to hold anything back from him. I'm going to give freely. If I truly trust that he is my source, then I'm going to be able to give freely because he's my source. This money isn't my source. This money is my opportunity to demonstrate my trust and to release my faith in God as my source. Not to get God to do something for me, but to release my faith that God is my source.
Because he's already done. Whew, man, we got a lot to cover. And, you know, 1 week is not going to be enough. And I don't want to impose, but audience, wouldn't you like to have him back next week so we can get some more?
All I can say is book it, Dano.
Book it. It's booked. Oh, praise God. Amen. You said something when you you've just recently returned from India. You said something when you were in India that really capped it. A lot of people think that under the grace of God, that grace gives you the permission to go ahead and sin and do.
Yeah.
Could you say that?
Yeah. We talked about how sin is an opportunity for God's grace. So when we sin, there is an opportunity to receive God's grace. When sin abounds, grace abounds even more.
Yeah.
So sin is an opportunity to receive God's grace. But grace is not and should not be an opportunity to sin.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have twisted it and seen, well, since God is the God of all grace, then I guess I can sin so I can get grace. But the truth is we need to see that when we fall, sin becomes an opportunity to receive God's grace. But when we understand God's grace, we should not use that. We won't want to use that as an opportunity to sin.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about tithing.
Yeah.
You know, bring ye into the storehouse.
Yes.
The tithe. And you're going to be cursed with a curse. And God's going to curse you one way or other now. Now, if you don't bring that tithe, you're going to be cursed. Either going to break your car down or the kid's going to get a cold. But he's going to get his tithe. Now, the scripture said something that was amazing to me. People are working real hard to stay out of the curse, so they tithe. But the Bible says you're cursed with a curse if you don't bring the tithe and offering.
Mm.
So something's wrong when you're tithing, and we're talking about offering. Okay, offering about 20%, then we add a little 3% on. So we're talking about at least about 33% if you're going to stay out of the curse. If you choose to live what he's saying there,
right,
then it's going to require about 33% to do that. And you're going to have to give tithes and offerings in order not to be cursed.
Right.
But under the covenant of grace, didn't Jesus say that we were delivered from the curse of the law?
We're redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Jesus redeemed us. Christ redeemed us, Galatians 3:13 says, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, or curse is one that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing might come to the Gentiles, the blessing might come to us, and the blessing of Abraham might come to us. There's no possible way we can ever be under the curse. If we're born again, we are not under the curse. We're not under the curse because of our parents. We don't have to break the curse with oil. We don't have to break the curse with prayer. We don't have to break the curse with anything. We don't have to break the curse with our giving. Jesus broke the curse.
Yes,
we cannot make up anything for what he's already done. He already did it. It's done. It's settled. It is finished when he said it on the cross, right? So now, how do we tithe and how do we look at tithing and giving? Well, before there was a curse, Abraham had the blessing. Abraham met Melchizedek, right? Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus. Abraham met Jesus and gave him his tithe. He met grace. Mm-hmm. He met the blessing. It says Melchizedek blessed him. It says Melchizedek brought bread and wine, took communion with him. Jesus has done all that for us. He's brought us the bread and wine in his body and his blood. He's blessed us with his blessing. Therefore, our response, like Abraham's, is, I want to give him the first fruit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, right? I want to give you my tithe. I want to give you my offering. I don't give it because I'll be cursed if I don't. That's a fear-based religion. Yeah. And Christianity is not a fear-based religion. There are fear-based religions in this world, but true Christianity is not one of them. True Christianity is a love-based relationship. He loves me, therefore I love him back. He's blessed me, therefore I bless him back. He's given everything to me, therefore I hold nothing back from him. And in fact, Pastor, one thought on Abraham is when he gave up Isaac, it says when he gave Isaac, God called it worship. God called it. Abraham said, we're going to go and worship. He saw his giving as an act of worship, as an act of love and adoration. He didn't see his giving as some sacrifice I'm making. He saw it as, I'm so in love with this Savior that I want to give him everything. And God said, when he said, you did not withhold your only son, now I know you really worship me. True worship and true adoration towards God is that we're holding nothing back from him. And that's why I tithe. That's why I give offerings above that. That's why I'm going beyond the tithe. The tithe is, that's baby stuff.
Yeah, that's the starting line.
We're not
dude.
Under
Come
that.
On.
Yeah.
That's preschool.
That's right.
I like what you said. You said, I'll never be caught giving anything under 10%.
That's right. Because if I'm truly under grace, I'm no longer bound to tithe. I'm free to give way beyond the tithe. Only giving the tithe or less, I must be law-based in my thinking, and that's where I need my mind renewed. Because if I really know how much he gave me, he didn't give me a tenth of his son. He didn't give me a tenth of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
He didn't give me the tithe of his goodness.
Yeah.
He gave me all things pertaining to life and godliness. Therefore, I'm giving him everything. I start with the tithe because there's a principle there that the tenth has an anointing on it when we give that to God. I'm not holding anything back. I'm giving beyond that, above and beyond, simply because he's given above and beyond that to me.
So your motivation is no longer the curse.
It's not fear of being cursed.
Right, because 2 Corinthians chapter 9 gives us very detailed instructions about our giving, that we should not give grudgingly.
That's right.
It says that we should not give out of necessity. Says that we should give out of a cheerful heart.
That's right.
And so when you deal with not giving grudgingly, he says don't be reluctant to give. He says, I want you to give as God has purposed, as you have purposed in your heart. So you make up your mind to give what you want to give.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to ask you. I know there are times in my life when I first got saved, I used to calculate that tithe all the way down to the cent, to the penny.
Yeah.
My tithe is $112.52. And man, if I didn't give that last 2 pennies, I thought, well, dear God, I didn't tithe.
Yeah.
And I remember when somebody took a brick and broke the window of my car, I got into condemnation. Oh, Lord, I should have gave my tithe this way. Look at the devil done been loosed on my business, done broke my window to my car, you know. And that's now giving out of necessity.
Yeah.
It's me giving the tithe because I'm fearing the curse.
That's right.
Versus me giving out of a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart means ungrudging heart.
Yeah.
That I give because I want to give, and I give as I purposed in my heart to give. And so here's my question. Is it okay for me, I'm not going to give less than a tenth, but for me to make up in my heart, dear God, I know my tithe is just $5,000, but man, I'm going to give you $25,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you $25,000. How come? Oh, my God, you've been good to me.
That's right.
You have delivered me, Lord. Look at what you did this week. Look at my family. Look at my relationship with my wife. God, I don't have any condemnation in my life anymore.
Yes, yes.
I'm free to praise and worship you. And as I'm doing that, I think I'm going to give $27,000.
Yeah.
Is that what he means when he says, as you've purposed in your heart to give, give?
Totally. I totally believe that's what he means. I don't think anybody who's discovered the grace of God, like we've been talking about. And I don't think there's anybody who's discovered the true grace of God that would want to give less than the tithe. Because if you truly have been touched by grace, the woman who came and poured the oil, the ointment upon Jesus' head and wiped his feet with her tears and her hair, she wasn't calculating anything. She took this family heirloom that was worth almost 1 year's of wages, and she poured that on Jesus' head because she was forgiven of so much sin. And Jesus said she was forgiven much, therefore she loved much. And how did he describe her demonstration of love? It was her giving. It was her generosity. It was that she poured that oil and that perfume upon his head because she knew how much he had forgiven her. She was so generous. Love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. God never loves us without accompanying that love with a gift. Love is always accompanied with a gift. And if it's not accompanied with a gift, I question whether it's true love. Because when I said I love my wife, she was waiting for me to put a ring on her finger to really prove that.
Yeah, you know, a house and some food.
Right? A house. And you know what? When I got married, and my wife, I joke with her all the time about this, but she came with debt into my life. And she came with a college bill that still had to be paid. And I never said, I can't believe you brought this bill from college into our marriage. I can't believe you strapped us with all this debt. I loved writing that check every month to pay off her college bill from the past because I loved her, and love gives, and love expresses itself through giving. I know people like, some people like the love language of words and the love language of all these other languages and touch and feel. I need some giving to prove that somebody loves me.
Give me that language.
Right? If God said, I love you, but he didn't give us his son, what kind of love would that be?
What's the evidence of that?
Love gives.
Yeah.
And so I think if we've been touched by his grace, touched by his love, we're going to give. And I think that so many Christians, they're New Testament in here, but they're Old Testament in here.
Absolutely.
Right? And so they say, okay, I'm going to live by the New Testament. I'm going to give cheerfully. So, I got to work up this joy. I got to work up this cheer to give. And what God is trying to say is, wait, stop.
Yeah.
Before you give anything out of trying to prove how joyful you are, go back to the grace of God. Realize how forgiven you are. Realize how free you are. Realize how much he's delivered you from. That will produce cheerfulness. Uh-huh. That will produce joy. And then you'll give from that spirit of knowing how good God has been to you. That's what it means.
You want to give, man.
You want to give.
You want to give.
You want to give.
He's live.
God getting ready to turn some things around in your life.
Sometimes direct.
How many believers do I have in here right now?
And always anointed. Creflo Dollar, streaming live from Atlanta and New York City, Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 10 a.m., and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Stay connected, no matter where you are in the world. Creflo Dollar's just a click away. Catch him live 3 times a week at CrefloDollarMinistries.org.
And you have got to make sure you understand that you are not the source of your prosperity. God is your source. Amen. And so taking 10% of what you make and giving it away, it really makes no sense to the natural mind. And that's exactly why God asked you to do that. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but he asked you to do that so you can trust him. Ultimately, God, ladies and gentlemen, is the one who's responsible for promoting you. I said, God is the one who's responsible for promoting you. How do I make God my source? Well, now check this out. The way you act on your faith and make God your source, the way you act on your faith and the way you make God your source, watch this, is by giving. The way you act on your faith and the way you make God your source is by giving. It's by giving, it's by tithing, it's by making offerings. Because if you don't believe God was going to bless you back, it would be crazy to give away your livelihood. So think about it. You're giving your livelihood trusting God. And that's what it's all about. When you begin to give, you're ultimately saying loud and clear, God's my source, that's why I do give. God is my source, that's why I do tithe. God is my source, that's why I do give offerings. And when you do that, every time you do that, your giving is establishing without a doubt that God is my source. Amen. Say it again. God is my source. Now, unless you factor faith in, unless you take the time to factor faith in God, into the equation, it makes no sense that giving would lead to prosperity. I mean, take God out, how is giving going to lead to prosperity? God is the source of this. God is the source of this. Giving is a way of demonstrating that we are in God's economy and not in the world's economy. In the world, before you got saved, you ain't trying to hit his. But now that you're in God's economy, giving is a way that we demonstrate that we're in God's economy, that we don't operate by the systems of this world. And so we need to trust God.
And I was going to go to this place of love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says that you can give all your goods to feed the poor. You can give your body to be burned or go through burnout.
Yeah.
Because you're working so hard to, you know. And he says, and if you don't do it without, and I think the word it uses there, charity, if you don't do it with love, it has zero profit.
Yeah.
But if I'll give motivated by love rather than being motivated by fear the curse, then that's going to profit me a whole lot more me giving out of the fear of the curse or the fear of lack.
That's
even.
Right.
And we say we love God, but sometimes we don't even believe that God loves us.
Yeah.
And until you settle the issue of the love that God has for
that's right.
You're going to always struggle with the love you say you have for God.
You cannot give what you do not have.
You can't.
You can't love with a love that has not been shown to you first. My focus on the love of God is always on God's love for you, God's love for you, God's love for you, because that will result in your love for God. You don't have to force love for God. You don't have to put it on. You don't have to, because then we get the credit for it. We get the glory for it. Only God gets the glory. We love him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
1 John 4:19 says. And you said something very powerful about, if I give my body to be burned, if I give all my possessions, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. A lot of people are giving to get, and they're giving to prove something, and they're giving to because out of fear of the curse and out of fear of not having enough. That profits them nothing. But if you have love, giving is going to be the overflow of love. It's not like it's one or the other. Giving does not produce love, but true love will result in giving. And when we understand God's grace, it'll result in giving.
You know, it's kind of like James, faith without works is dead. And religion has taught us that in order for you to prove you have faith, you're going to have to work something.
Yeah.
That's not what that means.
That's not what he's saying.
It means when you have faith.
That's right.
Then out of the faith and belief you have, it will give birth to an action.
It will. It will produce.
It'll produce an action. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with this love.
That's right.
When it is there and it is genuine,
yeah,
you can't help but to end up giving.
It's your reflex to give. It's your response.
That's a good word.
There's no. It just comes natural. It's supernatural, but it really is natural. When I know that I'm loved, I'm gonna give, because it's a reflex. It's not an effort. It's not an attempt. It's a response to God's grace and to God's love.
I tell you what, this is something that I want the whole world to get a hold of.
The whole world.
So they can be free to give.
So that they can be free to know how great this grace is.
Yeah.
And giving will be the reflex to that. And people are so caught up with, do I give the tithe? Do I give the offering?
That's not it.
It's not it at all.
Yeah.
We're not under the curse. We're redeemed from
the
curse, so we don't need to worry about that. But if I've truly been touched by God, I'm going to be thankful. And if I've truly tasted that the Lord is good, then my reflex is going to be to give back, because I want somebody else to taste that the Lord is good.
What an excellent way to articulate it. And if you're listening to this, if your focus is on love, giving is going to be an automatic reflex.
That's right.
You won't have to make yourself do it. You're going to want to do it. And that's why the curse can no longer be the motivation for your giving.
Yeah, the fear.
The fear can no longer be the motivation for your giving. It's not about the money.
That's right.
The tithe or the offering.
That's right.
It's about, will I trust him? Will I love him? Have I received all that grace is made available to me? You get so busy focusing in on what grace has made available, and you get so busy focusing in on this unspeakable gift of all that God has done and is doing for your life. You remember when Abraham decided to give that tithe?
Yeah.
Once he realized, look at what God just did.
Look at what I've been delivered from.
Yeah, I've been delivered from these armies, and I could have died in this thing. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And he gave him tithes of all.
Yes.
But Abraham said, no, don't give my boys what's due to them. You keep everything. I've already lifted my hands to God. I trust him. He's my source. And then in Genesis 15, verse 1, after the end of these things, he said to Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And now I'm getting ready to give you something that money can't buy.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a son. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Wow.
And you'll begin to rejoice
That's
over
so
that.
Good.
That. And listen, we didn't come here on this broadcast today to be careful.
Yeah.
We came here to be radical.
That's right.
And I know some people, well, I tell you what, them preachers up there, you know, talking about money again. We ain't talking about money. Get that camera in my face. We ain't talking about money. We're talking about you trusting God, and money's just involved in the process. Money's the reflex that
That's
comes
right.
as a result of our trust, our love, and our appreciation for what Jesus has already done.
So true.
Now, see, you can go around here and decide, well, bless God, I love him. Last week I gave $25. Well, maybe you did. But did you do it because you were afraid? Did you do it because, you know, a lot of people try to buy things they can't afford to impress people that don't care with money they don't have.
Yeah.
And you got to get delivered from that. You've got to understand that all things that you have that are good, they came from God.
That's right.
He is your source.
Amen.
He is your supply house. He loves you. God, I thought God was mad at me. He's not even in a bad mood.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
So true.
He's not in a bad mood where you're concerned. He loves you with a relentless love.
Wow.
And if you'll receive it, receive all that he's done. Receive all that he's made available. Receive this grace. I'm telling you, your life will change and you'll know freedom like these two preachers know freedom. Mm. We know freedom. And we're free to just love God and to
Amen.
Love other people because of what Jesus has already done for us.
So good.
If you're watching today, God is watching you.
Mm.
Not in a religious way. You may have been taught it, you know, that way, but it's not. No, I mean that God is watching out for you.
That's right.
He knows your need and he wants to bless your life. And you don't have to qualify for it. All you need to do is trust him. He has called you and he's qualified everybody he calls. You just need to trust him. Praise God. Now, the real key to true prosperity is learning to trust what he's already done. Now, I know you're probably saying, Creflo, that's easy to say, but how do I do that when my financial pressure's all on me and pulling my hair out? Well, I knew you would ask me that, and I've got your answer. I put together what I consider my best collection yet to help you understand how to trust God with your finances. If you're ready to take your finances and really your entire world to the next level, then you'll want to get this new collection into your home right now. So stay tuned to find out how you can get a hold of it, and Pastor Greg and I will be right back.